The reading is Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27. That's on page 868 in the Bibles. Page 868. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the word of the Lord.
You're still not yet convinced about the Christian faith. And maybe you're thinking, well, why should I obey God? It doesn't sound like such a good idea to me. But what would it take for you to think it was a good idea to obey God? Or maybe, like some people I've been speaking to recently, you're looking at Christians and you think, yeah, they've got something wonderful there. I would love to have that life. Well, what would it take for you to have that life with God? Well, I'm going to read again two sentences from our reading. It's from the Old Testament. It's a prophet called Ezekiel who is given a message to tell the people of Israel with some wonderful promises and also some challenges. So if we can have that on the screen, that would be great. And it's back in the Bible. Let's have a look at the page number. It is page 868. And let me read. Okay. God promises this. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, the problem that the people had back then and the problem that all of us have in our natures now is that we have, it says, a heart of stone. So I found a stone in our garden that looks like a heart. We've got a heart of stone. Put it down there. Now, we often talk about the heart, don't we? And the heart, of course, you can feel your heart. Put your hand on your chest. You can feel your heart beating. But when we talk about the heart, we often don't mean that pump that pumps the blood around us. We actually mean something else. So we'll say things like, I love you. We'll put a heart there. And it's the same in the Bible. When the Bible talks about our hearts, it means the part of us that has feelings towards other people and decides whether we like or dislike something. And the problem is, we have hearts of stone towards God. That's what it's saying. The people of Israel had, and we have by nature now hearts of stone towards God. Now, what does that mean? Well, a few chapters earlier, Ezekiel said these words, or God said these words to Ezekiel to describe these hearts of stone. He said, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Sounds a bit like Ralph here at the front, doesn't it? The house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they're not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. So it's saying they don't have feelings of love towards God and they do not want to do what God says. So, not a good situation, is it? Now, can anybody tell me, hands up, what are these? It's maybe a young person. Is a young person there? What are these? Yeah, Matthew. Fossil. Brilliant. Now, what has happened to them that's made them like this? Anybody tell me, what has happened to these things that's made them like this? Perhaps a grown-up might. Or Matthew, our paleontologist. They dried up and they turned to? Brilliant! I know that Matthew's been a paleontologist at school this week, and you've learned a lot. A paleontologist, someone who studies things like these. They were living creatures, and they've dried up and turned to stone. That's what Matthew said, and he's right. And that is what God is saying has happened to the people of Israel. Their hearts have dried up and turned to stone in their relationship with him. They don't feel love for him and they don't want to do what he says. It's almost like their hearts are dead, like these fossils. Let me show you another picture of a fossil, a dinosaur fossil. Now here's a question for you. What would it take for this to live again? What would it take for it to live again? Have a think. What would need to happen? Some people like to help me. Can be grown-ups. I'll come to you in a minute, Matthew. Andrew, you've got a miracle. It would. That's brilliant. It would take a miracle. We are learning about a miracle this morning, Mike. Yeah, we need a heart. Yeah. What else does it need? A brain. Yeah. Skin and flesh, yeah. Anything else? Blood. One more thing. Breath. Yeah, brilliant. So we need all of those things to live. Let's read our verse again. God says to the people of Israel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. So what he's saying is, he's going to take out this old heart of stone. You can see it's made of stone. Take that out and put in a heart of flesh. In other words, we need a heart transplant. The old has got to go out and a new one is needed to come in. So this is an amazing thing. For us to obey God, for us to want to obey God, it's not like God is saying, try harder next time. It's not like God is saying, pull up your socks. It's not like God is saying, turn over a new leaf and do your best and it will work out this time. No, none of those things can or will work. We need a new heart. We need God to give us a new heart if we are going to love him, have a relationship with him, and want to obey him. If you remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We need a heart of love towards God. Now, we do, of course, have hearts of love, hopefully, towards our mums and dads. That doesn't mean we obey them all the time, but there's part of us at least that wants to. And if you are a follower of God and we have a new heart, then we won't obey him all the time perfectly, but at least we will want to, because it comes out of a loving relationship. But as we saw with that skeleton, there's more than a heart, isn't there, that's needed. Let me show you something. Now, don't go, please. Don't go, this. But, here we go. So here is some flesh. It's in a cool bag. It's got lots of ice packs around it. I am hoping to eat it later on. Go on. So anyone want to just prove to me it's... Is it... Yeah. It is a real chicken. It is a real chicken. Luke says so. So it's made of flesh. So surely that's it. It's alive. No. More is needed than just a heart of flesh. Let's put it straight back in the cold if I'm going to be able to eat it later on. It's not really alive. More is needed. Now, at this point in time, we're going to play a game for our little ones. It's a game that Coffee and Kids play. Now, in order for us to play that game, we might need a couple of big people might just like to quickly help put some of this Duplo away. I did not expect Ralph to make this much mess. So some people can put that away. And I'm going to ask Cherry, who's going to come and lead us in a game of sleeping bunnies. So any young people who'd like to play sleeping bunnies, you come up. Move it forward.
Jack, Sophie, or does anyone want to
come and have a look in this hutch and see what's in the hutch? Thank you very much indeed, Andrew and Tom and Luke. Come and have a look and see what's in this hutch. I'm going to move it forward slightly. What is in there? A bunny rabbit. Seeing if they're breathing.
This one's breathing. This one's
it's breathing.
This one's
can feel a heartbeat. Made of stone, yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, Cherry. Thank you, all the Coffee and Kids mums, and thank you, all the young people. So, this flesh chicken. Show it's not enough, is it, just to be flesh? It also needs to breathe. It also needs to breathe. Let me read again, have a look again at our verse. God promises, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. The word for spirit in the original language actually is the same word for breath, for breathing. So God is saying, I will give you a new heart of flesh, and I will also breathe life into you. And he promises, look at 27, he says, I will put my spirit in you. So the way this is going to happen is God himself is going to breathe his spirit into the people of Israel and into all of his people everywhere and make us alive. Now, hands up if you have seen or like or read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Lots of people. Well, here's a picture from the film. Does anybody know what Aslan is doing to this statue here? He's not eating his hand off. It's something else. Was that a hand up, Mariana? What's he doing? Yeah, he's breathing on the statue. He breathes on Mr. Tumnus, and Mr. Tumnus comes alive. And that is exactly the picture of what God says he is going to do to us. He's going to breathe on us and make us alive. And because of that, let's go back to our sentence again. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He will give us a heart of love a new spirit within us so that we will love him and want to go his way. We can't do it. That's what this is saying, isn't it? We can't do it. We've got hearts of stone. But God is able to breathe into us and to give us a heart of flesh and a new spirit so that we will obey him. And as we come onto the New Testament, over the next few weeks, we're going to learn that this promise of God breathing his spirit into us, actually, it's even more than just God's breath. It is God himself, God the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn that God has three persons in himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to learn lots more about the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks. But this is the first thing that he does. He breathes into people and makes them alive and gives them new hearts. This is wonderful, wonderful news. And if anyone here is still thinking about the Christian faith, and maybe you're not yet sure whether you believe it or not, well, this is saying quite an extraordinary thing, isn't it? It's saying that you need God's help to come spiritually alive. You need God to breathe on you and give you a new heart and a new spirit in order to see that he is good, to love him and want to go his way. God's help is needed. Why don't you therefore ask for God's help? And if you ask, he will do it. For those of us who would say we follow Jesus and have done well, this is just a reminder that our life with God comes from God. We couldn't do it ourselves. He did it. And so we should be so thankful to him for giving us his spirit, for breathing into us his spirit and giving us a new heart and a new spirit so that we want to obey him. Yes, we struggle, we don't always do it, but he's given us the help. So we can thank him, and we too can ask him that we will love him more and more. And we too can pray for others that we know that God will breathe into them as well. Thank you all for listening. This is the first talk in a number of talks we're going to be thinking over the next few weeks about the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he's come to do. And we've learned the first thing that he does, he makes people alive so that we can have a relationship with God. Well, thank you for listening. We're going to sing now. And Hearts of Stone.